This month, a new study shows cancer survival in the UK is improving, but more work needs to be done. Claims that a blood test could spot cancer are overhyped. We ask One Foot in the Grave star Richard Wilson why he's supporting us. And we take a look at why it's worth sticking to your healthy New Year's resolutions. Welcome to the Cancer Research UK podcast. I'm Dr. Kat Arney. A new study shows that survival rates for four different cancers, lung, bowel, breast and ovarian cancer, have continued to improve across the world. But although the gap between the UK's survival rates and those of the best performing countries has reduced, the UK is still lagging behind, and there's much to do to improve things for UK cancer patients in the future. Cancer Research UK's Director of Health Information, Sarah Higham, explains how this latest study sheds light on the reasons behind this gap and what we're doing to help close it.
There are a number of hypotheses as to why we're still not catching up with the best. Obviously, previous cancer plans, the 95 Kalman Hine and the 2000 cancer plan, look very much at treatments. The 2007 cancer reform strategy really put a renewed emphasis a new emphasis on earlier diagnosis, hence the National Awareness and Early Diagnosis Initiative, which obviously Cancer Research UK has been working in partnership with the Department of Health on since the end of 2007. It'll take some while for any activity in this area to play through into cancer survival rates. So one reason why we're not catching up with the other countries is that we still need a bit more time to let those policies play out. We do know that we need to do more in the area. We need to understand more about late diagnosis. We need to understand what exactly we need to do in this country to tackle the issue of late diagnosis.
This month, the media reported that a simple blood test could spot one cancer cell in a billion blood cells, helping doctors spot the disease early. But actually, this sort of technology is a long way from being useful in the clinic. Dr. Julie Sharp from our science information team explains the real story behind the headlines.
In fact, what this story was actually about was the announcement of a research collaboration to try and investigate a new type of test that can pick up cancer. At the moment, it's at a really early stage, and the test actually needs more development. It needs further testing in the lab and in clinical trials. And also, it needs to be made much more cost-effective before we really know if this is a suitable test for cancer.
Actor Richard Wilson has had a long and distinguished career on stage and screen, although he's probably best known for playing the curmudgeonly Victor Meldrew in One Foot in the Grave. In real life, he's far from grumpy, as I found out when I went to meet him to find out why he's such a staunch supporter of Cancer Research UK's work.
It just strikes me as extraordinary that in the 21st century, cancer is still such a huge part of our society, and I often think if we had spent all the money in armaments that we have, that maybe by now we should have found a... I know the advances are huge in cancer, but maybe by now we would have found a cure for cancer. I used to work in laboratory work, so I dealt a lot with leukemias and cancer of the blood, and I've had close friends have some pretty nasty times with the disease.
Do you think you'd be surprised now if you went into a lab to see what was going on?
Yes, well, I believe I've been in a lab a couple of times, and everything is so automated now. I mean, even sort of doing comparative slide readings of blood samples is done for you, apparently.
We have made progress in treating cancer. How do you feel that progress has been made in your lifetime?
I think it's been huge in my lifetime, but there's still so much to be done. The other thing about cancer that always strikes me is it's been researched by some of the best brains in the world, all over the world, and yet we still have quite a long way to go. But the advances of, I mean, you know, used to call it the Big C, as you know, and it was a sort of death knell if you were diagnosed. Now, of course, the chances of treatment are hugely increased. I don't know anyone who's not touched by cancer. I don't know anyone who hasn't got some close friend or relative who has had cancer. I've had many friends who've dealt with it, and two or three in particular who I was very close to and spent a long time with.
And with all the research that's going on and the progress you see being made, what are your hopes for the future of cancer treatment?
Well, I hope that in my lifetime, which is running out fast, I hope that there will be still more advance. I know it's a very long and slow process, but it does seem that we're getting there with all the new advances. And I just hope for more advances still.
You've been a supporter of Cancer Research UK for a long time. What sort of things have you got up to for us?
What have I got up to? I'm not going this year, but I go up to Glasgow, the carol concert in Glasgow, which is a big, big carol festival, which is great. I've done carol concerts, and I, of course, give money to Cancer Research, and I've done walks around the river of London. I send a lot to auctions. I've done lots of things.
And what would be your message to Cancer Research UK supporters?
Anything I can say to encourage people to support the cause. I think it's an obvious thing to encourage people to keep up the research and to keep working. There are so many people touched by the disease, as I've said. It would seem to me that cancer research should be absolutely have no problem funding, but it still has to some extent. So give, I say.
Around this time of the year, we're bombarded with messages about New Year's resolutions, and many people may decide to try and shift a few pounds over the coming months through eating more healthily, getting active, or both. But is it really worth it? Can fighting the flab help to cut your risk of cancer? How much exercise is enough anyway? And what on earth is a healthy diet? And what if you're naturally slim? Does lifestyle still matter? Sally Staples went to talk to our head of health evidence and information, Ed Yong, in search of some answers.
Now, it's the middle of January, and we've all made New Year resolutions to be more healthy in the new year. I think a lot of us know that being overweight is linked to heart disease. But can you talk to us a little bit about how this is relevant to reducing your risk of cancer?
As you say, a lot of people know about the links between body weight and heart disease and diseases like diabetes. But it turns out that keeping a healthy body weight is one of the best ways of reducing your risk of cancer as well. It affects the risk of a lot of different types of cancer, including breast and bowel cancer, which are some of the most common types. We recommend that people eat a healthy, balanced diet and to get half an hour of physical activity. Activity five times a week in order to keep their body weight within normal levels. And that can make a big difference to your health.
Can you explain a little bit about the sort of mechanics of why being too heavy can increase your cancer risk?
So when people think about body fat, they normally think about a spare tire, something that just sits there doing nothing. But actually, body fat, especially fat around your stomach, can be very, very active. It can pump out a lot of hormones and other chemicals that can affect the way the cells around your body grow and divide. And it can cause them to grow and divide far more than is usual, which is one of the hallmarks of cancer.
And if you are one of those lucky people who never seems to put on weight, whatever they eat, and so in fact you are slim and you are well within the right body mass index for your height and weight and so on, does it matter actually what you eat? I mean, is diet important so long as you are the right weight?
Well, we recommend that people eat a healthy, balanced diet anyway. The things that you eat can affect your risk of cancer. Even if people have a healthy body weight, for example, it's still very important that they cut down on the amount of alcohol that they drink, because alcohol is one of the most important causes of cancer after smoking and being overweight. Drinking too much alcohol is something that a lot of people obviously engage in during the holidays, and many people have resolutions to cut back or to go teetotal for a bit at the start of the new year, and that can certainly make a difference to their health as well.
You mentioned earlier exercise. Again, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that. If you do exercise, but you don't actually lose any weight as a result, is that still being beneficial? Are you still getting something from just the fact that you exercise and you move your body around? Is that going to help protect you against cancer, or do you need to see a weight loss to do that.
Physical activity can help to reduce the risk of cancer regardless of whether you actually lose weight or not. It's the activity itself that has a positive effect. Now, obviously, if you do lose weight, that's great because we've already talked about the links between body weight and cancer. But you need to do a lot more activity to lose weight than you need to actually get those other health benefits, which include a lower risk of bowel and breast cancer.
We're often, or I'm certainly quite confused about how much exercise you need to do. You know, one man's moderate exercise is another's marathon. Do you need to sweat? Do you need to get breathless? What really should we be aiming at?
We recommend moderate activity, which basically is anything that leaves you slightly out of breath and a bit warm. So it can be anything from going for a brisk walk to doing some gardening to even doing some housework. The government recommendations, which we stand by, are to do moderate activity for half an hour a day, 5 days a week. That should be a minimum, I think. So people should aim to do at least that. And the more they exercise, the more frequently they do it, the more intensely they do it, the better it is for their health. But that should be the bare minimum that they aim for.
So if you walk for an hour every day, but you don't actually get breathless, you're not doing enough.
If you walk for an hour every day and you do it quite fast and you don't have to be huffing and puffing by the end of it, but if you feel warm and if you feel like you've given yourself a bit of a workout, then that's good enough.
When I think of New Year resolutions, of course, the other big one is giving up smoking, and I'm sure there are people who are trying to do that in January. Would it be fair to say that that is certainly a priority, that that is more important than all the exercise and the dieting that we hear about?
Certainly, if you're a smoker, the best thing you can do to reduce your risk of cancer is to stop smoking. And there's no way of mitigating those risks or reducing those risks in any other way, regardless of how healthy you are in the rest of your life. So stopping smoking is incredibly important. And we recommend that if anyone's really trying to give it a go, that they should try and use the NHS's free stop smoking services. That it's some of the best ways of actually quitting successfully.
That was Sally Staples talking to Ed Yong. And you can find out more about lifestyle and cancer, as well as tips for losing weight, eating healthily and quitting smoking from our Healthy Living section of our News and Resources website. That's info.cancerresearchuk.org. That's all for this month, and we'll be back next time with all the latest news. But in the meantime, you can keep up to date by following us on Twitter. We're @CR_UK.